Have you ever tried to play a gum leaf? It's surprisingly difficult, but Herb Patton began playing the gum leaf when he was 8, and he became one of Australia's most skilled gum leaf performers. A Yorta Yorta and Wirra Jury man, Herb has also researched and written about the place of gum leaf playing in Australian history. Well, Herb Patton talked with Michelle Rayner about his life, about the role of music in it, and the influence of the place where he grew up.
Well, I was born in a place called Orbost, which is on the Snowy River. And the Snowy River and Orbost and the surrounding area there had a great influence on me. At the time I was living out of Orbost, a place called Numerella, and I've always called that home. I remember over many times there the different Aboriginal people coming through. It was sort of like a transient place, but further down the road, about 2.5 hour drive, would be Lake Tyres.
Mission there.
The mission was there, and a lot of those Aboriginal people used to travel back and forth to there during the time I was going to primary school. So I'd say around about 6 or 7, I was pretty well watching a lot of that sort of thing going on. A lot of seasonal work on the flats of the Snowy River. Corn, potatoes, beans and peas. There were some Aboriginal people living on the farms year in and year out that were working for the farmers at those days.
Your family wasn't in a mission, on the mission?
No, my mother was born at Lake Tyres. Her father, my grandfather, his name was Herb Murray. He's living at, just out of Lake Tyres, a place called Tooloram, just a little creek as you go into Lake Entrance. Most of us stuck in a little group together. I think there was around about 15 families that we called our own little group there in a place called Numerella. That's where I saw my first influence with the gum leaf. Unbeknown to me, my mother's uncle, granduncle to me, he was a gum leaf player in the 40s, and he used to go travelling with the other gum leaf players up and down from Melbourne or through Gippsland, a little bit of New South Wales coast. But they were around about 8 or 10 of them. I didn't know that. And then it was in the early 50s that I heard the first note of a gum leaf playing, because where we lived, a bush type of setting, housing sort of set up, there was no gutted street or toilet things connected, you know, sewage or anything like that. Mm. We were just camps in and around a place called Numerella.
Lots of gum trees.
A lot of gum trees. And I was down in one particular area there, what we call the pit. And it apparently was an old quarry that was just a big hole and a lot of cliffs and things. And a lot of Aboriginal people used to camp down there, and it was quite a sort of like an echo place when someone was talking down, you can hear them up on top of the little ridge. And I heard this sound. I looked and I saw I couldn't see the sound, I can hear it. And then I'm wondering where it was coming from. And then all of a sudden I seen my granduncle. He was the only person there. And he didn't see me. And a kid that is inquisitive like that hears these things at that age. Mm. So I seen him pick a leaf off a tree, and I looked right alongside me. It was a little gum leaf tree, and I done the same thing there. And I watched him and observed him, and he put the leaf up on his lips and he made a sound, and I just followed him slowly, and I just blew and I made a sound, and it tickled me. And the first time, I was only about 5 years of age, I'd say. But I did meet a couple. Another place bloke I'd like to mention is an old bloke called Uncle Chuck Mullet. I seen him play a gum leaf, and them days there used to be a little bit of singing. And
did you learn how to play music, Herb, or was it by ear?
All by ear. When I was at school, there was no musical teacher to teach us any scales or anything like that. We didn't know anything that existed like that, although we watched piano players, even though we had a piano in our family. It was there before I was born. The story behind that my mother's mother bought that in 1932 in Fitzroy. But I can remember as a kid at that piano, walking up, and I could just see the white notes with my nose. Mm.
Did anyone play it in the family?
Mother played it all by ear. My Auntie Violet, she played it. She was the one that backed me on an amateur, a local amateur contest. I was around about 8 or 9 then. And she backed me on 3 songs on the piano. And I come second in that amateur, I remember that, at the Orbost Mechanics Hall in Orbost.
Can you remember what you played?
Yes, I remember I played It's a Long Way to Tipperary, Pack Up Your Troubles, and Roll Out the Barrel. Three sort of war tunes they were. I can remember going to about 5 schools in three or four years because of the movement. My father would go for 1 spot mill, sawmill here, sawmill there, and that. I think there was a time, I can remember, when welfare was pretty prevalent on Aboriginal people. It did affect some of the movements with my father. We stayed out in the bush for about 2.5 years in one stint. I can remember at high school when the welfare payments were coming through high school for high school kids, Aboriginal kids, and you get a pair of pants, shirt, singlet, shoes, socks, just high school sort of stuff, you know. I was very upset. I remember when I got them clothes at the high school. Mm. I really didn't want to wear them. The pride of the independence, you know. But we were lucky, our family, because we didn't have a great deal of backlash from the white system interfering with our family as much as some of them poor kids that I grew up with, you know. And I can remember driving through the towns from Nowra down to Orbost. And every town, you'd find a heap of Koori's camped outside the towns. And it was just a common outlook of Aboriginal people living that way. Mm. To me, it never registered any difference in anything, you know. It was the way it was, you know. Mm. There was a lot of comfort in that because you'd go to a town and you didn't want to be sort of... You knew that the town could be a little bit hard. You're an Aboriginal person, please pick on you, or a stranger in the town, you know. But if you go to an Aboriginal camp, you know, the welcome, the warmth was always there.
As a young fella, relatively young fella in the 50s, I read that you were in a band, you formed a band called the House of the Rising Suns.
Yes.
S-O-N-S. Tell me a little bit how that came
about. Well, I actually had lived in Ulladulla for nearly 10 years, a little fishing town up in the south coast of New South Wales. And during the off-season, like what I call off-season, I used to be a trawler fisherman and I used to be a tuna fisherman. And tuna would only last from October till around about April. And from April till October, you'd get no fishing around and be just sitting around on land getting a land job. And this is when I formed with this band called the House of the Rising Sun. And we stood together for 6 years, but we used to play all the old 60s rocks. We used to run the coast there on clubs. We used to always have a resident band in clubs there for many years. I think it was 4 years. I never saw a New Year celebration while I was on the floor and the band playing to me. It went for 4 years straight. I can remember that. It's always the main singer. Of course, the Gumleaf at that time, there was a very well-known song called House of the Rising Sun at the time when it came about, and we just formed the group. And we used to use that as the lead tune with the Gumleaf. And it was well arranged with our guitarists. We only had 2 guitars and a drummer. We never had a bass guitar. And I used to play little bongos and I used to sing and Gumleaf wherever we fitted in tunes. That particular time, it built up a good reputation. And then Gumleaf was in the background. Mostly I was just a straight-out singer in the band in the 60s. We stayed together for at least 6 years solid.
And it was black fellas and white fellas in the band?
Yeah. Well, there was no restriction with me. I mean, I've been doing a lot of mediums with black and white, and you can really make it mix in real well.
I was born an Aussie son to a mum I loved so dear in a land I believe was mine. Oh, the trouble and the strife that followed Dad throughout his life. When we lived amongst the new morella pines.
I did have a rendition in my musical, really at a young age, when I was at high school, I had a very strong voice, because even before in that high school I was doing the amateur, I come second in that. I used to be invited to different parties through my uncles. I was more or less like an adult. Couldn't drink or anything like that, but I had a very strong voice, a very powerful voice. And even when I used to come to Melbourne, we used to have a lot of entertainment to raise funds for Aboriginal whatever in those days.
The Advancement League.
Which I've been involved for nearly 40-odd years, you might say. I had a very good voice, and that's how I came to be in that band. As I said, when I was in Melbourne, I used to run into a lot of other influential musicians. Harry Williams, he was a magnificent guitarist. I still say he still is. Haven't seen anyone come along as good as him. And his rendition of music influenced me a lot. And then he taught me to write a song, which is the only song I've ever written. It's called Numerella Pines.
And what was that about?
That's about the hometown where I grew up, in Numerella. My family of nine of us at the time, my father, mum, the Snowy River.
And you can play it on anything, including gum leaves? Or?
Played on gum leaf, guitar, piano, singing anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, when we played amongst those Numerella.
One thing, the gum leaf won't run away. He'll always be here.
Herb Patton there with a rendition of the song Numerella Pines, played on the gum leaf, and that's an instrumental skill that he's refined over the course of his life. And Herb was speaking with Michelle Rayner for the Oral History Program Verbatim.